Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, November 29th, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. We were having an interesting conversation about should the fruitcake toss have a women's division? And also, President Jimmy Carter's photos yesterday at his wife's funeral service. Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. We were having a conversation about that right before I went to break. So give me a buzz because I would like to hear the other side of that story, because I came out earlier and said that I don't think that Jimmy should have been, I don't know. I don't think that they should have shown former President Carter in that way. Clearly, he was going to go to his wife's funeral of over 70 years, even though he is in hospice and 99 years old. But I don't know why it became a story that he was there. I mean, of course he would be there, and then showing these pictures of him in not very good shape. You know, I'm looking at these pictures this morning. Now, it's Jimmy Carter makes rare appearance at Rosalynn Carter's memorial service. This was 19 hours ago, People magazine. Jimmy Carter covered by blanket, paying tribute to Rosalynn Carter during her funeral service. That's Fox News in Atlanta. I just don't know. I mean, of course, like I say, he's going to go. It's his wife's funeral, but gosh, it's just tough, I guess, to see the former president like that. But, you know, that's the way it goes, I guess, at this particular juncture. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's me, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, well, now, what were you saying about Jimmy Carter? You said it was okay to take the pictures?
I don't think there's really that much wrong with that. I mean, it's going to be history, and that's going to be, you know, years ago from now. It's going to be something people can see and relate to. If that was me, I wouldn't care what I look like. Scott, with these legs, I've been dealing with this for several years now. And at one point, I had so much dry, cakey skin on my legs, it was awful. And, you know, when I was getting around, I still got around, went to the stores, and at one time, I had two different type of shoes. You know, one was a white one, one was a black one, because, you know, I had to cut both of those shoes to get them to fit my feet. You know, I had, you know, different sizes on it. I don't really care what people think, Scott.
Well, no,
it was something I had to deal with, and it was, you know, out of my control. Now, what's nice now, I got a nurse and an aide, and they come in every day, and they wash those legs, and that helps get moisture on them, and they put lotion on it. Because it was, you know, I couldn't hardly do that myself.
Oh,
and do that every day, you know. So it's keeping that dead, flaky skin. I don't know what people thought of me when I was out, but I really don't care.
No, no, and I doubt President Jimmy Carter cares what people thought of him. What I'm saying is, and people got to do what they got to do. You know, hey, listen, I don't begrudge anybody for that at all. And you do have to go in public sometimes, or you just want to. I guess what my problem with it was Jimmy Carter's been in hospice since February. So he's been in it almost a year now. And he's 99, oldest living president ever in the history of presidents. Clearly, we know he's not doing well, and he's also in grief over the death of his wife of over 70 years. This is probably the only event that would have brought him back into the public eye, being in hospice, being 99 years old, would have been the death of his wife. And again, I'm not begrudging him for going. I would expect him to go. That's a very brave act to go to his wife's funeral. My problem is that the story should be the death of Rosalynn Carter, and that Hillary was there, and Michelle Obama was there, and Bill Clinton was there, and you know, I believe Laura Bush was there. I don't want to get it wrong. There were some other presidents there as well. But what I don't, Melania Trump, I think, was there. But what I don't understand is why was it necessary to take pictures of him and make that the story? I don't know. I mean, did we not suspect he was in bad shape? I think we all probably knew he's been in hospice and we haven't seen him since February. And he's 99. I mean, we probably suspected that he was not in good shape. I think we all knew that he would go to his wife's funeral. I don't think anybody doubted that. But why take these pictures of him with his mouth hanging wide open and in a wheelchair with his legs propped up with a blanket on him?
Well, I can see, you know, how some people could think that was bad taste. But, you know, then again, it is what it is. I mean, he was a former president, and it is news. And what would maybe Carter and his family think if he went to it? And they, you know, they probably expected pictures to be taken, and there was no pictures taken. They probably think, well, Jimmy Carter ain't relevant at all today.
Well, I guess what bothered me was, had Rosalynn not died, and she was younger than him, and I think we all wish that she hadn't, I don't think that we would have ever seen Jimmy Carter again until after his passing.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you know.
And because this tragic event happened, probably the only event that would have brought him into public, now we're going to have these pictures of him in not the greatest shape. And I don't know that that was the proper way to do it. If a camera brushed by him because he was in the front row, I understand that.
But then again, his family, if they didn't want pictures taken of him, they probably could have got, you know, nobody, paparazzi, however you want to call that. They probably could have stopped that.
Well, I don't know. I think it would have been very hard because television stations were covering it. I mean, when a first lady or a president dies, it's just going to be covered. And I think clearly he was not going to miss his wife's funeral. And I don't blame him for that one bit. But like he didn't speak yesterday. Now, Jimmy Carter was a very eloquent speaker. And I think his granddaughter read a letter that he had written. Now, that's how I would expect it to go. And I don't even know if Jimmy Carter can speak at this point. I don't know. Certainly not in a group full of people.
Probably not that long. You know, he might be able to say things, but he probably wouldn't have the oxygen and wind to speak very much.
Right. And I just think it's one of those situations. You remember Ronald Reagan? Ronald Reagan, we did not see for 10 years when he had Alzheimer's, because you don't want to see a president in that condition. And I think, well, God forbid, if Nancy had died during that time period, would they have rolled Ronald Reagan out there? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I imagine they would have.
And would that have been a good thing to see him in that condition? I don't know. To me, I'm split on it because I certainly he should be there if he wanted, and I'm sure he did want to be there, and I don't begrudge him that. It's just unfortunate to me that the media had to take a picture of him, because what is the story in that? You can say President Carter's there. You don't have to take a picture of him in this wheelchair with his mouth hanging open, looking how a 99-year-old on hospice looks, saying, you know, Jimmy Carter emerges from hospice care. Well, what'd you expect?
Well, that's right. That's the reason why I don't know if the pictures was, you know, that awful, because how do you expect a 99-year-old like that to look? I mean, you don't expect it to be, you know, Matthew McConaughey, you know, or Brad Pitt, you know. They're not going to be looking like that. They're going to be looking like a 99-year-old. So to me, it's nothing really. And, you know, the people that are taking those pictures, you know who they are, don't you? They're people, you know, like you guys that are reporting and other news agency. That's why those pictures are taken. It wasn't, you know, some John Q. Adams that, you know, happened to be there that just took those pictures.
You know, that's true. But you know what? I'm also very cognizant of taking a picture of somebody who's not in their best. And if the picture does not look good, I wouldn't use it. Now, I think it would have been perfectly fine to say Jimmy Carter, who's in hospice care, is attending this event. It's his wife's funeral under great circumstances. I think that would have been fine. I don't think we needed to see everything. I don't know what good it did. I mean, he wasn't speaking. He wasn't. I guess I'm trying to figure out showing those pictures and making a story of it and putting those pictures on, because when you are a former president, it's on every newspaper page, front page across the country today. Was that necessary?
No, I don't think it was necessary, but that's something you, in this day and age and in our country, you got to expect. Now, if that would have happened, you know, a long time ago, it probably wouldn't have happened. You know, back in the 30s and stuff, when FDR had that, what did he have? Polio
or something? Polio, yeah.
There wasn't pictures taken of him, and it wasn't, a lot of people didn't even know he had it. The media didn't report it.
Right.
There was some fraud on what you report on. You know, they didn't. If you had a mistress or something like that back in those days, that all wasn't brought out and blown up and exposed. I mean, the media had a little bit of common sense then, but they sure don't anymore.
No, and I think that's what was unfortunate in this particular case is that, you know, when people don't feel well, when people are suffering from an illness, if they don't mind having their picture taken, that's one thing if you ask them. But I don't know that it's necessary for us to go up and snap a picture. I don't remember anybody snapping a picture of Ronald Reagan when he was ill toward the end of his life.
Where was the pictures taken? At a church?
Yeah, at her service. It was at her,
service?
Yeah, because he was put in the front row with the other presidents and first ladies who were there.
But there's could have been some control over that, whether, you know, there was any media that was let in around that. They could have kept enough people around him that weren't in the media that would have made it too difficult for them to even give a good picture.
Well, that's what I would have thought. I would have thought.
Family, you know, maybe they didn't think of that, but they probably could have stopped that, or at least them not getting a very good picture.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know why none of this happened. I don't know why there wasn't some protective measures taken. I don't know. It's just so odd to me that became a... This was the death of the First Lady. To me, that was the story. This is Rosalynn Carter's funeral. And I don't even remember the last time, when was it, George H.W. Bush back in 2018, that we've had a president or first lady die. So it's been 5 years. And, have we even seen that much news on Rosalynn Carter? It certainly hasn't been the news that I thought it would be.
Right. And like Sarah said, nobody wants to see pictures of somebody when they're doing good. But boy, when there's something, some tragedy or, you know, something happens, they want those pictures.
Well, yeah, and like I say, and like I said to Sarah, I do believe that there is some, if there's a murder or there's a theft or something like that, that's a story, because a murder's a crime, a theft is a crime, a car crash, depending on, could be a crime. For a 99-year-old man going to his wife's funeral, there's no crime. I mean, the story is that she's died, that she was a First Lady of the United States. I don't understand why they took a picture of him and made that a story yesterday.
I'm just glad he was able to go to it.
Well, yeah.
Hopefully he was in mental shape enough to know what was going on there.
Well, you...
I imagine he was if he went to it.
Well, I would think so. I mean, I think he's in hospice, but I don't think he's... I think he's still cognitively there.
Yeah, and as much as a 99-year-old could be, you know.
Right.
You can't expect him to be, you know, like a 70-year-old.
No, but I, you know, I think Jimmy Carter was pretty good into his 90s. And really, up until the last 2 or 3 years, I think he was pretty good.
But that's one family, that's one president we've had. And, you know, he wasn't a bad president. The thing that really got him was that Ran thing and those hostages. And they went in and tried to get him, and it didn't go well. But he did a lot of good as president, and he did a lot of good as a citizen.
Yes.
If every president we've had would have been like Jimmy Carter and done the good that he has done, maybe this country would be a little bit better, and other people would try to do good too.
Well, I think it certainly would be a different case to say.
You know, I just don't think Trump's going to do all the good after he's president that Carter did.
Well, I think it's also it's an interesting thing when we talk about age of these presidents, because, you know, both Trump and Biden are both over 75. And I think, I don't know if age does matter. I've been trying.
We always ponder on the age thing, but it's unreal. Well, when somebody gets elected, it's always the old guy.
Yeah. Well, I think that job certainly does age you. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Now, but I do think we need to get some younger, you know, people in there eventually. I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing, you know, wrong with some of the ways younger people think, you know.
No. And I think someday somebody's going to come along. I just certainly don't know how soon it's going to be. I think that's awful interesting.
Well, the problem is there's a lot of people that would do good in that job just don't want to on account of what you have to go through. And anymore, every president we have will be impeached, you know, or at least a vote for impeachment. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it is interesting how we handle things. I'll say that. I don't know anymore. I don't know if we really... The problem is, I don't know if we want the president to do good. I think if we vote for them, we want them to do good. But if it's somebody we don't vote for, we don't want them to do good. And I'm not really sure I understand that, because...
I don't understand that, because it's the country. It's not the president. If the president does good, the country does good.
Yeah, you would think that'd be the prevailing wisdom.
And, you know, that's all I worry, you know. If Trump would happen to be elected again, I don't want to, you know, a bunch of things happen. I want some good to be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think everybody should give whoever the president is, no matter what their party or who they are, you got to give them a chance.
Yeah, benefit of the doubt and... You know, not automatically start talking day one of the presidency, how bad they were, how bad they're going to be, you know. Just let's see what happens.
Yep, I think you're right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. The topic of conversation this morning was a lot of media outlets, certainly newspapers, but television did it as well, magazines, running this picture of former President Jimmy Carter at his wife's funeral yesterday. Of course, Jimmy Carter, 99 years old now, in hospice care since February, and just losing his wife of over 70 years. Of course, not in the best condition, but of course he should have went to the funeral, and of course I'm glad he was able to get to the funeral. But these pictures they showed of him, I don't know why they had to take them. I honestly don't. If a television camera had passed by him because they were panning the row of former first ladies and presidents, you know, that's fine. But I don't know. We'll see if anybody in his family cared that they did that. Maybe nobody did. Maybe it's just one of those things. If you have an opinion, you can give me a buzz here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, again, Fruitcake Toss coming up on December 14th at 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue. Do want to remind everybody again that we have a new entrant this morning in our big list here. Let me run this down one more time. Ted, Adam, Dr. Davis, Kerr Murray, Andy Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neil, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Jack Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, Ed, Linda's husband, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, representative from the fire department, Judge Edwards, and Carrie Grigsby. That is the list as we have it now. Now, if you want to nominate somebody, you can give us a buzz here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We will have Buckeyes that night provided by Matt's mom, which we are calling Chestnuts. There will be a plaque presentation that night to the winner of the event. And there will also be a plaque presentation to former Mayor Jack Kellogg as he enters the Upper Crust Society. And we will have singing that night from Matt and Carrington, Christmas carols for the audience. All right. Well, that's the story we have so far. Again, if you have anything to say, 740-751-4038. Does anybody got a pick to win the Fruitcake Toss yet? Anybody doing any... what would he call it? Practice for the Fruitcake Toss, or would you like to nominate anybody? 740-751-4038. And again, our news story yesterday was the mayor's interview on the station. Did anybody hear Mayor Scott Schertz around the station and make anything of his appearance? I thought it was a very interesting appearance yesterday. He certainly had a lot to say about the auditor's office, which is apparently continually in some problem. Do want to remind everybody again very quickly, if you send us a Christmas card and you put your return address in it, we will send you a Christmas card back and we will also read it on the air. The new address here, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, Marion, Ohio, 43302. WGH Talk Radio. That's where you send it. Put the return address in there so we can get you a card back, and we'll read it on the air as well if you write a message in there. We love getting the Christmas cards, and we love sending the Christmas cards back. So we hope that you get them. All right. Well, there is an announcement I needed to make today. I did not get to it in hour number one. But for those of you who've listened to this station for a long time or who've maybe just been in Marion for a long time, I'm sure you're aware of the name Mary Ann Michaels. Now, I worked with Mary Ann for quite a long time. I worked with her at WMRN, and then we did a television show together. And then we worked together at another radio station, and then she was here on the Exchange Club until 2017. And Marianne was great. She taught 30 years in the Marion City School. She was Mrs. Stolarczyk. She was really the first woman, one of the first people from Marion ever to go on to television. She worked in Dayton, I believe, first, WLWD, Dayton Television. And then she went to WCMH, Channel 4, in Columbus. She was an anchor there. And then she went to, I believe, WSYX in Columbus, Channel 6. So she had a great, great career. And I'm so proud to make the announcement today that today, November 29th, 2023, is Marianne Michaels Day here in the city of Marion. And that is a proclamation that came from Mayor Scott Schertzer. Now, I don't have the proclamation in front of me right now, but I will have that tomorrow. But today is Marianne Michaels Day in Marion, Ohio. Now, Marianne retired from broadcasting back in 2017, and she's kind of kept a low profile, so I don't think she will be making any public appearances today. But Marianne was just one of the best. I loved Marianne. She was good to me, just a great lady, and I'm so glad that today is Marianne Michaels Day in the city of Marion. Now, one thing I want to do, I went through some old clips last night, and I wanted to play some memories of Marianne. Marianne had a great sense of humor, and Marianne also had a great voice, and people thought a lot of Marianne. So, we're going to go back into the WWGH archives here and remember our friend Marianne Michaels, for whom today is named. Remember, November 29th, 2023, Marianne Michaels Day here in Marion, Ohio. Let's go back and remember our friend Marianne Michaels.
What do you make of Trump, Charlie? You didn't jump in. You did the wife thing there, but
he's an egotistical jerk.
What do you really think about him?
But he knows enough to make millions. I guess we can't put him down for that.
We can't put him down
because we don't know how much he owes.
He would not have a chance, I'm sorry, at an office. He's got a lot of money
that
he can put behind him, but how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
30 years in the Marion City School District.
Yes.
What do you miss about teaching?
I miss the children. I really do. They're priceless,
yeah.
You know, and to do something for them and to teach them was a privilege as far as I was concerned.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. You taught, what grade was it you taught?
Well, I taught second grade.
Second grade.
And I also taught in the junior high.
Junior high. And right. Marge was in the Marion City Schools in those days. What were your memories of Marianne?
Well, Marianne was someone that we looked up to. And I remember walking with her on the playground. Now, I came from a totally different discipline. I was a registered nurse, got recruited by Dr. Brown because I couldn't find a job in nursing to teach fourth grade. And I knew very little about that. But anyway, she was like a mentor and just a wonderful person, kind of told me some, you know, good things to try to do with the children, what have you. So I followed what she said, and it did work. But I have to add, all of the boys, and Craig, seventh grade you taught?
Yes.
Loved her. And every night, it was Marianne. I said, is there anybody else that teaches at that school besides Marianne? But the boys loved her, and you were an excellent, excellent teacher.
Well, how
an
nice.
Excellent teacher.
Thank you.
30 years in the Marion City School District.
Yes.
What do you miss about teaching?
I miss the children. I really do. They're priceless,
yeah.
You know, and to do something for them and to teach them was a privilege as far as I was concerned.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. You taught, what grade was it you taught?
Well, I taught second grade.
Second grade.
And I also taught in the junior high.
Junior high. And right. Marge was in the Marion City Schools in those days. What were your memories of Marianne?
Well, Marianne was someone that we looked up to. And I remember walking with her on the playground. Now, I came from a totally different discipline. I was a registered nurse, got recruited by Dr. Brown because I couldn't find a job in nursing to teach fourth grade. And I knew very little about that. But anyway, she was like a mentor and just a wonderful person, kind of told me some, you know, good things to try to do with the children, what have you. So I followed what she said, and it did work. But I have to add, all the boys, and Craig, seventh grade you taught?
Yes.
Loved her. And Marianne, I said, is there anybody else that teaches at that school besides Marianne? But the boys loved her, and you were an excellent, excellent teacher.
Well, how nice.
An excellent teacher.
Thank you.
And so we do get it in. It's one of our prized positions here in the United States of America. So here is Marianne Michaels reading a little bit of the Declaration of Independence.
And this is the final text of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
I do want to touch on a local story, though, before we're out of here. And this did not get a whole lot of play in the community, so I'm going to describe it vaguely. But it was in the Marion Star. Happened out at Pleasant High School. This is a sign of the times, I guess, that six students were suspended back on April the 15th. Apparently, what was done through a program called Snapchat, where you can take pictures and share them with people, the students were saying they had provocative pictures of other students at Pleasant High School and trying to sell them to other students. And the students were suspended. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. Even the ones that, you know, fooled around and got in trouble, and they were just kids. And I can honestly say that I've thoroughly enjoyed my teaching career. And it's sad that these kinds of things are happening because they are wrong.
What has the internet done to us?
Because the internet. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It has its pluses, but it also has many minuses. And I think it's terrible for somebody to get in on the computer and malign somebody. I think that just makes me sick.
Some of our favorite memories of the legendary Marianne Michaels here on this station. And again, today, November 29th, 2023, is Marianne Michaels Day here in the city of Marion. And nobody deserves it more than Marianne. I had more fun with Marianne. There are very few people in Broadway. I was very, very lucky. I got to work with all the legends in Marianne Broadcasting. Madge Cooper, Charlie Evers, and Marianne Michaels. Joe Ione. To me, those were the ones who really, really knew what they were doing, had big followings, and were just the best. And Marianne could not have been better to me. I never had a cross word with Marianne. I laughed with Marianne. She would do just about anything I would ask her to do. She was always funny. I just have a ton of memories of Marianne Michaels. And she never skipped a beat. She was professionalism personified. Does anybody have any memories of Marianne out there? I know a lot of people watched her entire career. Started locally here, I think, on CATV, if I'm not mistaken. Then she went to Dayton Television, I think it was WLWD back then. I don't think that's the station anymore, but I think it's the station now. Then she showed up on Channel 4 in Columbus, WCMH, and then moved over to WSYX. And then she came back to Marion on WMRN, and that was a huge story that she was leaving television to come back to Marion Radio. She created Morning Magazine, which lasted more than 30 years on Marion Radio. And then she was one of the original panelists on The Exchange Club, which, of course, The Exchange Club still runs today, and she was with it through 2017, from 2009 to 2017, the first 8 years, because Marianne could talk about anything. And she had all that career. She had the television experience. She had the radio experience. She had the teaching experience. She was just brilliant. And, you know, I often think about this. You know, Madge Cooper was a teacher in LaRue, and then she became a broadcaster. Marianne was a teacher in Marion City Schools, and then she became a broadcaster. Of course, I've done some teaching. I'm in broadcasting. I don't know what that is, but if you have any memories, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you have any memories of Marianne Michaels? You know, it's fascinating to me, too, that how she got her name. Because when you say Marianne Michaels, a lot of people don't know who that is. Because when she was a teacher, she was Marianne Stolarczyk. And a lot of people know her as Mrs. Stolarczyk. But what happened was, she told me the story one time. I probably told it on the air before, but I'll tell it again today. She got her first television job in Dayton. And she said her name was Marianne Stolarczyk. And they said, well, no. You can't use the name Stolarczyk. Nobody will be able to spell it. Nobody will be able to pronounce it. You can't be Marianne Stolarczyk. But she wanted to keep her initials, M-A-S. So she became Marianne Scott. So in Dayton, she was Marianne Scott. Well, then she got the job in Columbus on WCMH, Channel 4. And again, she said, my name's Marianne Stolarczyk. And they said, no, you can't use Marianne Stolarczyk. Nobody will be able to spell it. Nobody will be able to pronounce it. You can't be Marianne Stolarczyk. So she said, I've been using the name Marianne Scott in Dayton. I'll just be Marianne Scott. And they said, no, you can't be Marianne Scott because we have Mona Scott here at this station. So you can't be Marianne Scott. So she became Marianne Michaels. Now, does anybody remember why it became Marianne Michaels? I know I've told the punchline to this story before, and I don't know how many people know it, but do you know why it was Marianne Michaels? It started out as Marianne Stolarczyk, became Marianne Scott, and then why did it become Marianne Michaels in Columbus? For WCMH and WSYX and back here at WMRN and WWGH. Do you remember why she chose the name Marianne Michaels? You got to be a really close listener to this station to get this one. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you remember why it became Marianne Michaels? It's an interesting story to me. And, you know, Marianne was born, I believe, in West Virginia. She was not born in Marion, but she came here in the early 50s. I think it was. So she's been here for quite a while. And we're glad she's still here. As I said, she just retired at this point, and I don't think she's doing anything in the public eye anymore. You know, some people do that. Johnny Carson did that. I think when some people retire, they just retire. And, you know, I often think about that. I think, you know, there's something admirable about just retiring. Because the idea, the temptation is to come back because it's fun work. But when Marianne retired, she certainly did retire. Hey, it's Marianne Michaels Day in Marianne, Ohio. Nobody deserves it more. Nobody knows why her last name was Michaels. Oh, this is so sad. Nobody remembers why her name became Marianne Michaels. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, we've only got about 6 minutes left here. If anybody'd like to weigh in, did any of your grandkids or kids have Marianne as a teacher? You know, I'm trying to think of the year that she retired. Probably would have been in the 90s. So the kids that she taught now are probably 30s, 40s at this point. Boy, does time just move along. Anyway, I'll give the answer before I go off the air today if nobody gets it. Why was her name Marianne Michaels? That's a good trivia question. 740-751-4038. Now, also, I would like to mention that at the Fruitcake Toss, we will also be giving away, I always forget this, we'll also be giving away to the winner a family four-pack of tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights. So not only will you get a plaque, you'll get four passes to the Columbus Zoo Lights in Columbus, Ohio. So there's that as well. All right. Anything we didn't talk about here this morning as we approach the final 4 minutes? Again, I think I brought this up earlier. Chipotle moving from Mount Vernon Avenue to Delaware Avenue. Have that from a pretty reliable source. Moving to the old BP spot. There across from Speedway on the corner of Delaware Avenue and Barks Road. You know, maybe that'll work out okay for Chipotle. I don't know. I think it might. Yeah, it's just so hard to be on the south end of town now. There's traffic there because you have the hospital there and things of that nature, but I don't know. There's just not a lot of, not a lot of through traffic, I guess is probably what it is. I think the east side of town has a lot of through traffic. Does anybody have any idea why the east side of town seems to thrive when it comes to sit-down restaurants and things like that, and the south side of town does not really have that luxury for whatever reason? 740-751-4038. Let me see. Oh, we might have got the answer here in a message. I think we might have. Yes, Jeannie Evers out there listening did have the right name, or right reason. The reason her name was Marianne Michaels in Columbus was because she has a son. She has one son, and his name was Michael. And that's why she became Marianne Michaels. All right. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Probably the reason they... about going or being more successful over here on the east is because of the highway, because you can get out of towners as well as regular people. But now on the south side there, maybe because did that Marin Diner, did it close up altogether or did it reopen?
You know, I don't know. The last I knew, it was closed, and I was kind of shocked to see that it had closed.
Because that might be... You know, they need something over there besides just the fast food, I guess. So, well, I guess I've never been to Chipotle, so I guess it's probably fast food, too. But they'll have more parking over there because right now they're there beside that urgent care, aren't they?
Yeah, it's definitely, I assume it will be a bigger location for them, so that'll be good.
Yeah, so they'll have more parking, and they'll be over there for, there's a lot of traffic comes and goes, you know, to Kroger, and using Barks Road to go over the overpass and so forth. And then maybe if they have people in the nursing homes out there or at the hospitals, they can run down there and eat while they're visiting or something.
Yeah, I hope it goes over well. I assume they've probably done some research, and I think things will probably be on the positive.
And now, is Speedway still going to move across the road there too, over to where Sears parking lot was?
You know, that's what I heard. I haven't heard anything different.
Yeah, because I wondered whatever happened with that. So
yeah. Hopefully, we find out more.
Oh, okay. But now that I just tuned in, and when you were talking about Jimmy Carter and stuff, and I believe that's how he wanted it. He and his family don't care about the pictures and stuff. Stop it, Jack, my cats are fighting. But I, you know, that they're just simple folk, and they wanted to be, all of them be there together. And Jimmy, there was a comment.
Your
that he
place
had,
for the
had a new suit made just for the occasion. So.
Yeah, and I think he obviously should have been there, and I'm sure his family didn't mind, and that's why they brought him out there. I just think it's unfortunate that the media took that opportunity to take a picture of a former president like that. Clearly, 99, wife has just died in hospice.
It's just a fact of life, though. It's just a fact of life, the shape that he's in, and he wanted people to see. You know, it's just a fact of life. You go with it.
Right, but I guess
that was his message, is that you do the best you can, clear up to the end, because he's still cognitive and so forth. He just doesn't have the control of his body.
Right, I understand. You know? I guess my point in the whole thing is that had his wife not died, I don't think we ever would have seen him. I think the only thing that would have ever brought him out would have been that, because we haven't seen him since he went into hospice care in February. So,
well, in that parade, they had posted some pictures of him and Rosalind in that parade in their car.
Yeah,
and he looked pretty bad in those pictures too. But still, they didn't care, and the media isn't playing it up real big or you know, making fun of him or anything like that. There's probably one person that probably was making fun of him, Trump. But anyway, and even Rosalind, that was her wish for all of those first ladies to be there and trying to make peace with everyone.
And I'm glad they were all there.
Trying to make peace.
Yeah. And I'm glad he was able to make it. And like I say, I just, you know, history is an interesting thing, and we didn't see President Reagan during his Alzheimer's, and I don't know.
Well, Alzheimer's is different. I mean, the person is gone. I've gone through it so many times now, but with Alzheimer's, it's completely different, because they're just like with Jack Hanna. I mean, they're no longer the same person, and so you don't want to go out in public, because the person would not want to do that themselves.
Right. Well, I think that's right. And I don't think there's any way he would have not gone to his wife's funeral.
No. He loved her too much.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. We're out of time. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we're out of time today. And yes, Mary Ann Michaels, it was because her son's name was Michael. I'm glad people listen close. All right, now the phone calls come in when we've run out of time here today. All right, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.